So we're going to start by reading Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And then I just want to read the first seven verses of chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So, this morning, I would like to share with you my personal journey looking for joy. If you guys have found joy, I congratulate you. I would like to ask you some questions. Are you joyful today? Are you a joyful person? Were you joyful this week? Do other people look at you and say, "There's a joyful person"? I readily admit to you that I struggle with this, and I pray that my meditation that I share with you today will help. Well, let's first start with what is joy. So I have seven words for you, and four of them are in Hebrew and three of them are in Greek. So in Hebrew, the first word is gil, G-I-L. And we see this once in a while. We see this pretty often at our worship, but we see it in people under 5 years of age. And it means to leap and to spin around with pleasure. And it's to be expressed at God's works or attributes. Another word is ranan, R-A-N-A-N. And this is a jubilant shout expressed at times of sacrifice and over God's saving works. So you can think of times in the Old Testament when the people expressed ranan. The word sus, which is S-U-S, is a glad enthusiasm provoked by God and his word. And then finally, sama, S-A-M-A-H, describes a glad or a joyful disposition. So in the Old Testament, joy is often the enthusiastic response of a feasting company or a worshiping community to God's blessings. Joy can be expressed as glad shouts, in praise, in laughter, and in enthusiastic commitment to God's ways. Our relationship with God is our source of the believer's joy. So in the New Testament, there are three words that are used for joy. And the first is agaliao, A-G-A-L-L-I-A-O, which is a loud public expression of joy in worship. It focuses attention on God, and sometimes you can hear agaliao here when there's a loud public expression of joy in worship. The second word is euphraino. It's E-U-P-H-R-A-I-N-O. And this emphasizes a community of joy. And this is once again the joy expressed by believers in times of religious festival or at a neighborhood banquet. This is a shared enjoyment. And then the third word, Cairo, C-H-I-R-O, is used the most often in the New Testament. And this is a subjective state of joy and the things that bring joy. So this kind of correlates with the last Hebrew word that we used, sama. So for example, a close relationship with Jesus is a source of joy. There's a sense of joy that pervades the Bible. The Bible is like a diamond, it's like a jewel, and as you look at it from different angles, you see different sparkles. And as you read a chapter or a verse or a book or the whole Bible, you can read it from a different perspective depending on where you are in life and where you're choosing to read it from. In the Old Testament, there are numerous examples of the believing community gathering to worship and praise God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the people listen to the prophet Ezra read the law in the open square, and they respond. Then he said to them, "Go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." And in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 26, Hezekiah keeps the Passover. They hadn't been keeping the Passover for years. And Hezekiah comes into power and he keeps the Passover and the people rejoice. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Joy is evoked by remembering God and his work and by the confident expectation that God will deliver. Let me just say that one again, because I think it's key for all of us. Joy is evoked by remembering God and his work and by the confident expectation that God will deliver. And I just have some verses from Isaiah to remind us of that. Isaiah 51, verse 3. "For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." And Isaiah 56, verse 7. "Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And then finally, Isaiah 65, 18. "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." True joy is found in a saving relationship with God and in maintaining fellowship with him. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Do you remember the joy that filled you when you were first saved? I do. You had a sense of excitement about Jesus and about life. And we are to draw happiness and joy from maintaining that fellowship with God. In Isaiah 61:10, we read, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." I'd like you to ponder what God has done for you, all that he has made available to you. And when I think of this image of the bride and the bridegroom, they're getting ready to celebrate. They spend, you know, the bride spends, you know, a week or months preparing for that, you know, how she's going to look and everything. And the bridegroom, you know, he only takes an hour or two, but he still goes and rents a tux. But you prepare yourself for that joy. You prepare yourself for that celebration. You put on the garments. It says he decks himself with ornaments. And we have to prepare ourselves to be joyful. If we just go about under the pressures of the day and under the circumstances, as they say, we probably won't be so joyful. In Psalm 16, verse 11, we read, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." We would be more joyful if we counted our blessings each day. When I was in eighth grade, I was taught how to pray. And what I was taught was that you should always pray by the acts, A-C-T-S. And you should adore, you should confess, you should thank, and you should supplicate. You should ask for something, to keep it simple. But I think we would do really well if we would thank God in our prayers. Well, if you thank God in your prayers, you have to think about what you're going to thank Him for before you do it. And you also, you can't lie to God, so you have to be sincere. You can't just say thanks. But you have to be sincere about what you're thanking Him for. So we have so much to be thankful for, and we need to think about it. We are given instructions on how to live. It's called the Bible. As my brother likes to say, basic instructions before leaving earth. We would be more joyful if we spent more time in the presence of the Lord. We should long to spend time in prayer, in reading the Word, and in fellowship with the body. Our joy, here's the hard one, our joy is to be independent of circumstances. So joy isn't just an emotion. I have notes. If you want to borrow them, I have connections. I can get them to you. Our joy is to be independent of circumstances. We look at the circumstances of everyday life. We look at our bills. We look at our family. We look at our work. We look at our nation's economy. We look at our nation's politics. And sometimes our health and our money issues can get us down. Psalm 89, verse 16 says, "In your name they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness, they are exalted." We will have more joy if we keep our eyes on Jesus. He's our strength, and He's our source, and He gives us hope. Isaiah 61, verse 3, tells us, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." And as you know, I love looking at these songs and kind of picking them apart and going through the words. It makes it a little more real to me when I sing them. So at times, we all need to be consoled. We need beauty for all that is burned up in our lives. And I think we all know that spirit of heaviness. And we probably all felt it even this week. We are to put on garments of praise. And notice that this verse says that we might be called trees of righteousness. I envision the world noticing God's glory revealed in His believers. So we put on that joy and we're called trees of righteousness. We are to be the shining lights in a world full of darkness. He planted us. Show forth fruit. And then also notice that this is all, why? For His glory. Did you catch that? We are to have joy for His glory. Our joy is rooted in our trust in the Lord. I'll say that one again. Our joy is rooted in our trust in the Lord. We only have joy because we trust that God will provide for us. And I want to ask you, do you trust in the Lord? Do you really? If you do, then you won't be anxious for anything. Do you trust that God is in control of our country and who will become the next president? Do you trust that God is in control of all the finances? If God wants to shake the earth or the stock market, then so be it. Do you trust that God cares about your family members? Do you trust that God cares about you? Life is very stressful at times. We have many responsibilities. We have many cares and concerns. Our joy is rooted in our trust that God will fulfill His promises. And I challenge you to pray about this. Tell God that you trust Him. I want to be very practical here, and I want to tell you how to be more joyful. We need to look to God for joy. Do you look for joy in the world? I'm sorry, but you won't find it there. You won't find joy in wealth. Just ask Solomon. You won't find joy in education or in things. People who have a lot of things aren't happy. They just have them. Don't strive after owning things. Look for joy in the Lord. Where do we look? We look for joy in laying the foundation of the temple. The Jews were so excited when the foundations of the temple were laid at the beginning and when it was redone. Rejoice that God has laid a foundation in your life. And rejoice that God has laid a foundation in others' lives. We know that whatever God starts, He will finish. Rejoice when you see or hear about young believers coming to know Jesus. I was pondering this morning as we were worshiping. We have 9 decades of youth represented here. It's not a big gathering, but we have people in every decade of age. It's kind of cool. We're working on somebody between 90 and 100, I guess, but we'll see. We are to find joy in the fact that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. We are to have joy in God's creation. We are to serve God. We are not to serve Mother Nature. We should enjoy God's creation and pay attention to it. The sunshine today is wonderful, and a rainy day is nice too. Green hills are beautiful. A lot of us don't recognize how beautiful the surroundings here are at Cal Lutheran. People come from out of state, people come from out of the area, and they visit Cal Lutheran to think about going to school here, and they look around, they say, this is gorgeous. And those of us that live here say, oh yeah, I guess it is. We are to rejoice that Jesus Christ came to the earth. We're not to take that for granted. We need Him. The wise men were excited that the Son of God came to earth. The whole earth waited for this and rejoiced when He came. We are to take joy in the life of Jesus when He was on the earth. We are to take joy in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He has conquered death for us. He has atoned for our sins. We celebrate Yom Kippur this week with the Jewish nation, the Day of Atonement, where the high priest makes atonement for the people. And we have a great high priest who has atoned for us. And He atoned for us once and for all. We're to be joyful that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. We're to be joyful that Jesus loves us. This is a great thing. We're to be joyful that God brought salvation to the Gentiles. Most of us here are Gentiles. We were on the outside looking in, and Jesus broke down the wall that separates us. That wasn't a small thing in the history of the earth. Finally, the greatest source of joy for Christians is found in serving others and in seeing God work in their lives. We are genuinely happy when we serve others. In Christ, our greatest joy is to see a new believer. The biggest thrill to a believer is to see a new believer growing in faith. Right now, at this point in history in the United States, the church is being persecuted. The media is clearly and openly against God. Things that would not have been thought of 50 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, are happening. This new movie, Religiosity, is really ridiculous. But it's a cry out from a man who is searching. If he really was atheist, why would he be making such a big deal about God? It's because he wants to know, is there a God? And we probably need to pray for him. Newspapers, magazines, science, and movies all boldly state that there is no God and that other forces are in control. But we rejoice even now because God has revealed himself to us. And in our eyes and in everybody's eyes, all creation cries out that there's a God. And he has created all things and is in control. We have hope, and this gives us joy. We rejoice in the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are to be like John as he commends Gaius for his piety in 3 John verses 2 through 4. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. My prayer once again is that you will take this message before the Lord when you're alone. I pray that you'll pray for yourself. That's an interesting one. We're used to praying for others. I'm used to praying for my kids, my wife, my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my partners. But you should pray for yourself. Pray that you'll be pushed forward in your joyful spirit to rejoice more. I pray that you will count your blessings and enjoy them. I pray that you'll come before God's presence with thanksgiving in your heart and enter his courts with praise. And I pray that you will be seen as a joyful person in this world for God's glory. Amen.